Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. It's the 2019 Annual BITS Membership Meeting, and I welcome all of you. My name is Tom Jones, current president, and I wanted to wish everyone a great meeting. I hope we have one. I'm sure we will. And to get us started, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to call the roll. But we're going to do something different tonight because we are a technology affiliate. I believe that we should take advantage of technology to help us out. So since Zoom has what they call a participants list, we're going to use that to help us get the role rather than reading 106 names on our membership list, which will be a lot better. I think everyone will be happier that that goes a lot faster than it would if we were reading a whole list. So. The secretary will call the roll, and as he reaches a phone number, he may ask you who you are so we know that you're identified for the roll, okay? So, Mr. Secretary, with that in mind, go ahead and let's get her started.
Tom Jones.
Here.
Tim Cummings.
Here. I'm
Chelsea
listed as Mark.
Here. Renee Zellickson.
I'm here.
Terrell Jones.
Here.
Douglas Hudsinger.
Here.
Richard Villa.
I'm here.
Janelle Edwards.
Here.
John McCann.
Here.
Okay, the next one, I have a phone number here, 120-665-3711-117.
I'm Rhonda Nelson, I'm here.
R-H-O-N-D-A-N-E-L-S-O-N. Marie Christie.
Here.
Okay, I've got another phone number here. So the actual number 301-585-3737-061.
I'm guessing it's probably me, Wendolyn Hoovendick.
And who was it?
Wendolyn Hoovendick, Wendolyn with a W.
How do you spell the last name, man?
H-O-V-E-N-D-I-C-K.
Got it. Thank you. Okay, Erling Hughes.
Here.
Viola Cruz.
Here.
Okay. Jim Stanga.
Here.
All right, and I've got a phone number that starts with 510-541. Anyone claiming the phone number 510-541-1442.
You didn't call my name.
What's your name?
Lillian Scaife.
Are you the 510 area code?
No,
she's under
LM Scaife.
Oh, and I see Abraham.
Yeah, I just came in.
Oh, how does that last name go?
It's S-W-E-I-S-S.
Yeah, I just joined.
How many did that come out to?
It's 19 total?
19. Yeah, 19.
19. Thank you very much, David. Next order of business we have is to take a motion for approving the minutes or the annual agenda. Let's try the agenda.
Almost.
Okay, Richard moved and Terrell seconded.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded regarding the agenda approval. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of approval of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? Great.
One more.
We got one more. Steve Bauer come in. Okay, next comes the consideration and adoption of parts one and part two of the minutes. I'm going to take them separately. I think that's the best way to do it. I'll take a motion for part one being adopted.
So moved.
Seconded. No, second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the part one of the annual meeting for 2018. Any discussion?
This is Maria.
Yes.
I'd just like to point out that there are a few, I haven't read the entire thing with my Braille display, but when listing the items in the convention program, I noticed there were some misspellings that I would suggest to be fixed. There's reference to the a Trekker stream, and I think it's meant to be referring to the humanware, the Victor Reader Trek, T-R-E-K, and the Victor Reader stream, so there's no Trekker stream. Then also there's reference to Ira AI, and the company is just called Ira, and there are a couple of misspellings of people's names, like with Peter Korn, it's with a K instead of a C, and the gentleman from Microsoft, I know his first name is Brett, not Brad, and I'm not 100% sure. I didn't get a chance to Google his name, but his last name, but I thought it was maybe Humphreys, and I would say maybe referred to the convention program last year. I think it was properly listed there, or perhaps someone else just knows now. but I would suggest
it is Brett, B-R-E-T, I think.
Yeah, right, B-R-E-T-T, but then the last name, I'm not sure.
Humphreys,
right? Yeah, H-U-M-P-R-P-H-R-I-E-S, I believe. So, yes, I would suggest that those be correct.
I think it's Humphrey.
I'll amend then to, suggest that Maria, if you would bring those items again in an email to hit David's attention, outgoing search for him to correct.
Okay.
Since they're editorial, I don't think we should fail to that. But duly noted, and thank you for your scrupulous attention.
Yes, like that. Very excellent, Maria. Thank you very much for catching that.
Mr. President?
Yes.
So, will the secretary make the editorial changes and then he'll issue another copy with the changes? And the revised minutes would go on the website? Right. Do I need to make we agreed by consensus that editorial spelling changes, Maria will email the changes that she's recommending to the secretary, to David, and then David will make the changes to the minutes, and then we will put the revised minutes on the website. Is that agreed to by consensus?
Is that okay?
Everybody?
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. We got it.
Okay. I have one more question, if
yes.
I may.
Yes, please.
My second question, as we go through the meeting, when people enter, will the secretary please add those additional people to the roll call?
All I can say is I only have two hands and they can only be at one place.
I can act as a backstop.
I've already
recorded the 19 names, and the 4112 number, by the way, belongs to Frank Welt, who's just now left the meeting, but the fact of the matter is...
And if I may, Steve Bauer entered in. I think he would be number 20.
Yeah, he got it.
Oh, good. Okay.
John, you'll confer with David at the end of the meeting to make sure that the roll call is accurate for the minute?
Yeah. I'll just hear to backstop and we'll agree on, we'll work out the number.
Okay.
And that's by consensus with everyone that John will do that, so I don't have to make it a motion.
That's fine. Okay, so any further discussion on the minutes for the part one? Hearing none, all in favor of adoption of part one of the minutes from the annual meeting for 2018, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now we go to part two of the minutes for 2018's annual meeting, and I'll entertain a motion for the adoption of those.
Will they be accepted as mail?
Okay. Any seconds?
Second.
Okay, thank you very much. It's been moved and seconded that the part two of the annual minutes from last year be adopted. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. It is time for the treasurer's report. And Mr. Richard Villa, it's your turn to burn.
This is kind of interesting that this will be the last one I give you as a report. By the way, this is information, so only the books are not closed, but this is more of a status as to where we were at the beginning of July 2018 to present. Okay, 7/1/18, the checking account balance was $2,546.15. And it was PayPal balance was zero because I do my transfer at the end of the month. And we had the $15,000 CD. So now the beginning of or on 6/25/2019. Checking $3,166 and 66 cents. And the savings was 3,600, even 0.29. PayPal balance, $109.86, because I haven't done a transfer this month yet. And we still have our Wells Fargo CD. Now, the total in all accounts, that doesn't look right. That was, I don't like this account number. 26,876.81. Doesn't look right to me. I don't worry. If there's an issue, I will mail out a report to the business. I may have grabbed wrong. And that is our status as of today. Financially, we're in good shape. I am done. Mr. President, I'm finished. I'm done with the report.
Okay.
More of a status than a right. title, which I'll put together at the end of the month.
Okay. Okay. Next thing is the auditing committee. And by the way, did someone join the meeting and left? Did anyone see that?
Yeah, the 1442, which was Frank Welt, unless his wife Vita Zavoli is using that number. But it returns to Frank Welt, and he came in and went left again. So I don't know.
Okay. We're going to next thing we have is the auditing committee report, and that's from Maria Christic. And Maria, it is your turn.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. I will be summarizing a written report that I have prepared and with my committee, and I will be asking at the end of my report a question to you, Mr. President, regarding a distribution of that. So the audit, this is pursuant to bylaws section 4.1.1. It's been tasked with auditing the financial records of BIT. So what this does is it serves to determine if the organization's financial statements accurately and fairly reflect the financial condition of the organization in all material respects, and also whether adequate control procedures are in place to ensure the same. And this is the first time that such an audit has been performed for BITS in many years. And so to conduct our audit, which covered time period from January of 2018 to May 31st of 2019, which were the time periods for which we had financial statements to substantiate the treasurer's reports. We reconciled these treasurer's reports with the corresponding checking and savings accounts. We obtained from the treasurer and website administrator invoices to substantiate expenses occurred to serve as evidence of that. We corresponded verbally and in writing with the treasurer and website administrator regarding control procedures, things like how is the treasurer's report prepared and when, who has access to the account credentials for BITS accounts, how are transactions approved. We've also reviewed board meeting minutes that were on the BITS website to confirm procedure implementation. We also conducted searches on online portals from the Internal Revenue Service and the Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs to confirm that BITS was in compliance with its annual filing requirements. And so in our judgment, we believe we've gathered sufficient evidence and conducted sufficient auditing procedures to reach the conclusions that I'm about to share. And these are our analysis, of course, reflected facts as they were during the time of this audit. In our report, we have categorized our findings into two levels of sorts, namely audit issues and audit observations. So an audit issue is a more significant result, which results in an audit recommendation, whereas an observation is just that, something that we've observed. It's not as significant, and it results in what we're referring to as a suggestion. And so, of course, it's not you know, possible to provide absolute 100% assurance. We do believe that the treasurer's reports do fairly and accurately represent the condition of the organization, and that control procedures appear to be sufficient and to be working as intended, with the exception of the following areas opportunities for improvement, which we will now be noting. So we have here four audit issues and three audit observations. So the first audit issue is that with the current presentation of financial statements, we believe that it is unclear as to when and how much membership income is received via PayPal. So PayPal is the way that the vast majority of membership dues come in, and so that is the vast majority of income, and we believe that it's important for that to be presented as in a clear in as clear a way as possible, and broken down in terms of gross and fees. So in the current presentation of the treasurer's reports, it's really necessary to add two statements, one being the line item in the checking account, which indicates how much has been transferred for the month, and also any remaining PayPal balance item as listed in the treasurer's report to, it's necessary to add those two to reach a net income for the PayPal account. We find that this is a bit confusing and potentially misleading if, as has happened, PayPal balance is transferred at the end of a month, or if a PayPal transfer has been accounted for in the financial statement of an incorrect month. In addition, you know, the income has, if for a month, the PayPal income has been earned for that month from the, if it's been received from the first of the month to the 31st of the month. And so we believe that it should be much more straightforward to determine that type of income. And so we recommend that for consistency with the presentation of the checking account in the treasurer's report, which does list income and expenses, we recommend that in a similar way, that a PayPal section of the treasurer's report be expanded to also include items such as income and gross income, PayPal fees, and net income. And we have included now the written version of our report, an appendix in which we provide a sample format for several actual treasurer's reports, which we looked at during the audit period. We believe that also providing this extra information will help the reader and the preparer to more easily catch any instances where this procedure may not be being followed as per usual, so to serve as a control mechanism. Our second recommendation is that there are incorrect balances and therefore implied interest income in certain savings account presentations. So out of the 17 treasurer's reports, which we've reconciled, 10 of them stated incorrect amounts for the savings account balances, either the beginning and or the ending balance. Sometimes they listed the prior month balance, and sometimes they listed the same beginning and ending balance. Currently two line items are the only things in the report for the savings account, there is no explicit line item for interest income. Essentially, what having the wrong balance is doing is implying an incorrect amount of interest income with the calculation of ending minus beginning balance. Now, these interest incomes on their own are immaterial. They are 9 cents per time period. However, simply because of the rate at which we found this to occur, and sometimes it occurred in consecutive treasurer's reports, we felt it warranted an audit issue. So what we recommend here is that the savings account section explicitly list an interest income line item. We believe not only does this facilitate consistency and expectations, so that in all three of the accounts, if both of our audit issues are followed, that an income is directly reported, but it would also serve, again, as a check, as a control for the preparer, as well as to whether the correct balances are being used to arrive at that interest, to result in that interest income. The third issue that we identified was some inconsistent terminology and insufficient detail, we believed, being used to describe certain line items in the Treasury report. For instance, there were payments referred to as being, in some instances, something called from ACB, whereas in other instances, they payments of similar amounts were referred to as MMS, and these turned out to be the same types of payments from the bank statements. There was further description on one of the line items for GoDaddy, whereas there wasn't for others, and also there were some payments combined under the terminology of corp filing, and in fact, these were different types of payments, payments to different agencies, payments which had different frequencies. And so we believed that this, having some of these payments categorized this way, not only would lead to some type of confusion, especially for instance, new members to the BITS board who might be reading these payments, but could also open the door to any kind of confusion on the frequency of some of these payments. And in fact, in our speaking with certain members of the board to learn about procedures, one of the comments was that one of the payments was biennial, when in fact the invoice showed it to be annual. And so to make sure that this is, you know, clarified, and to make sure that there is less, you know, confusion as to the nature of payments, we are suggesting that either in the reports themselves or even just as a list of costs that can that are added perhaps to the BITS website for access by the board, that some type of more descriptive terminology be used somewhere to describe some of these payments. So for instance, the ones that I listed, to give some examples, something like ACB monthly monetary support donation quarterly, or you know, GoDaddy domain registration 1 year, or Incorp registered agent 1 year. And finally, in terms of audit issues, we are recommending that control procedures currently are archived in a central location, and certain control records require some reorganization and reformatting. So we were told that BITS written procedures, to the extent they're in writing, are in minutes, and so we reviewed these minutes to find such instances, but this was a bit difficult find, as there was, you know, currently no centrally archived containing only the relevant procedures, or only the relevant minutes. Of course, easily accessible procedures are important for, you know, again, consistent implementation among board members and education for new members, especially when uncertainties arise. And so also, in addition, we found that certain records, the December 2018 Treasurer's Report and board meeting minutes, were archived in the 2019 sections of their respective access areas on the website. And so we are recommending that there was a suggestion received from the one of the board members with whom we spoke, that a proposal be made to the board that a procedures menu item be created on the BITS website with board access, which would contain the written procedures, which would contain links to them. And so we recommend that, pending board approval, that be implemented. And also, we're recommending that these the 2018 items be moved into the 2018 sections for easier retrieval. Now, again, in terms of audit observations, these are just relatively less significant items that we have suggestions for. One concerned a $4,000 transfer from checking to savings account, which was approved by the board in November of 2018. And we were told to look at subsequent treasurer's reports for that transfer, but we did not find it, however. So our recommendation is to implement that transfer as approved by the board. Our second observation was that we saw in invoices from third-party service providers, such as Zoom, Amazon, GoDaddy, that there were taxes in those charges, and this seemed inconsistent with BITS just as a tax-exempt organization. And so we would like to recommend or suggest, excuse me, this is an audit observation, we're suggesting on all of these observations that BITS investigate with these providers whether BITS is able to provide them with a copy of their tax exemption certificate to have taxes removed from further from future charges in order to implement the tax exempt status of BITS. And finally, we note in an observation that the interest, accrued interest on BITS certificate of deposit, which term is greater than 1 year, are currently not being reported as accrued, and that we haven't seen an indication in writing and of all the terms in the CD. Now, the interest relatively is immaterial, but we note this because the IRS does technically require that interest be reported as accrued on CDs that have terms of more than a year. And typically, if the interest is greater than $10, which the interest on BITS CD would be, typically banks do issue a form indicating interest accrued over a year. And so even though BITS in the IRS filing that it does file, it isn't required to break out its income and expenses in detail. If it had been required to fill out a more detailed version of the form, it would have been required to do such. And so we feel it's just best practice to follow IRS requirements. We were told that BITS hasn't received ever such a form. So we would just like to make the board aware to check, for instance, because as we said, the interest would seem to us, for our understanding of the terms, to qualify for receipt of such a form. We'd recommend that the treasurer in future check, for instance, perhaps a tax documents section on the online banking portal for the bank which BITS uses, if there is such a section, to check that for receipt of these types of forms related to the CD. They're called a 1099 OID and 1099 INT, and that if such forms are received in the future, that those amounts be included in the appropriate treasurer's report. And because we did not see any of the terms of the CD in writing, especially because the balance in the CD remains the same currently with every treasurer's report, we feel that perhaps a footnote might be useful, listing briefly some of the terms of the report, such as this is in the detailed treasurer's reports provided to the board, listing its interest and duration. So as I said, I do have this report in writing, and my question is to whom I should send this. I believe, or I'm assuming, that this would be distributed to the board. However, I am not in, I don't have access to the board list. I'd like some input on how I ought to proceed.
Mr. President, Erlene?
Yes, I certainly am looking forward to that.
I move that a copy of the audit report be emailed to the treasurer, and further that the treasurer email the copy of the audit report to the board so that the board can consider and implement recommendations that may be deemed necessary.
Enthusiastically seconded by McCann.
If there's a motion right now to accept the report yet, we need to get a motion.
I think Richard's correct. Yeah.
Then I'll withdraw my motion and I'll make two motions. I move that the audit report be accepted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that the audit report be accepted.
Is there
any discussion?
Yes. I've questioned by the way, this is an interesting process to go through. But I do question one thing about PayPal. The Treasurer's report always show the from PayPal item separately. And PayPal being used as we use it, it's inferred to be income.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right, because we don't. It would be anything else other than income.
Yes. So we do agree. Yes, it is income. However, that represents net income, but it doesn't necessarily represent, as I mentioned, it doesn't represent all of net income necessarily for the month, because there have been times when there also has been a balance in the PayPal account at the end of the in the treasury at the end of the month.
And as I think I explained that if for some reason I do the transfer and somebody sneaks in, pays their dues on the last evening of the month, then that's going to show that it winds up in PayPal.
Yes. No, we agree. We're not saying that it's being misstated. We just believe that it could be stated in an easier location for someone to determine exactly how much income was earned for a month without having to add two numbers from two different sections of the report.
But that wouldn't necessarily be an amount in that month. It might have come in on the next day.
I'm sorry, I didn't that wouldn't necessarily be.
What I'm saying, it may have come in. Let's say I pull my amounts on Sunday.
Okay.
And somebody pays that night. Now, whether that may not appear to the next day, but yet I have to report it because it shows up as a PayPal payment.
But you're saying it would. So I think where we're misunderstanding is that you're reporting payments in the treasurer's report between the PayPal section of the report and the from PayPal balance of the checking account, that all encapsulates income earned from the first of the month to the last of the month.
Correct.
Okay. So yes. So in that case, all that we're saying is that the PayPal section we're recommending that it list in the PayPal section. And as I said, there's an appendix listing a sample format.
Right.
That there be a section to list that all together, that total income received for the month, regardless of when it was transferred or not. The total.
And I have mentioned to the board also at times why sometimes even I get surprised by the way the bank makes when they run their accounting to do the statements.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up with the numbers not matching my numbers
because things take several days to post to the bank statement. But we do believe that you're doing it correctly in terms of you're monitoring it when the transfer has been initiated. You're reporting it because that income has been received by BITS during the month that those payments came in, regardless of whether they transferred or not. So they should be reported in the month received.
That's why I'm trying to stick to that.
And we're not saying to change that. We're simply saying to add some additional line items to clarify in one place which.
Well, that's good. That'll be good for the next treasurer.
Exactly. No, absolutely. No. This isn't against you as a person.
No, this is
we're emphasizing.
This is a listening process. I have no issues with the process. And
okay.
I think for me, the first time, I think we did okay.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot that I went through in the background section of the written report about a lot of items that I heard from, you and Erlene as we spoke, and also items, reconciled from the treasurer's reports. I listed a lot of things that we thought you know, went well, and there were, you know, more of those things. So yes, okay. Absolutely.
Are we okay? Do we have any further discussion?
I just want to. Hearing none. You know, I just want to briefly say that.
John,
you know,
go ahead.
I mean, I've served as the head of a blindness service agency in Virginia with you know, $250 million of contracts, et cetera, for 240 employees, workshop. I have never in ACB seen a report of this level of professionalism, and my commendations to Maria and to please edify me as to who I know. Abraham was on the committee.
Thank you. I was going to say that at the end, as when we accepted, I'd very, very much like to thank Abraham Swice and Jim Stenga, my fellow committee members, who in a course of a couple of weeks, as this committee was formed, as you can tell, did quite a lot of work and a lot of value with discussions that went back and forth. And certainly thank you very, very much to Richard Villa and to Erling Hughes, without whom we would not have nearly this level of a report, because they provided a lot of detail, a lot of emails went back and forth, and answers had to be provided relatively quickly. And so I very much thank everyone who was involved.
Be the incoming treasurer, I very much look forward to reading the report and seeing the board implement suggestions.
So
I think Richard wants
to dare say that we'd it'd be hard to find all other affiliates that can pass muster on this.
I agree.
Does Abram, I just want to say one thing. Maria's being too kind. She did most of the heavy lifting.
Yes, she did.
It was an excellent process.
Is there any further discussion on our current motion to accept the auditing report? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Okay. So
I think it's time for your other motion, Arlene.
Mr. President?
Yes, please.
I move that a copy of the auditing report be emailed from the chair of the auditing committee to the current treasurer for distribution on the board list, so that the recommendations can be considered and implemented as deemed necessary by the board.
Second.
Any further discussion on that one? I don't think there will be any.
This is Maria, just with a question. Is there a certain time period by which you'd prefer this to be emailed? Substantively, it's set, but I would just like to give my fellow committee members another couple of days, if possible, to just reread this final draft to see if they have any changes for wording, not so much of substantive, but more form, etc.
Whatever
the end of the month be sufficient. You know, the 30th, say?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, let's shoot for that. Generally, without it being hard, I don't think we have to pass a motion or instruction or anything else like that.
We
can agree by consensus.
Like the 30th is,
Okay. Yeah, yep, that would be fine.
And that will become, not only will it become a public a document for the board, but also be in my treasurer's information that I pass on to the next treasurer.
Right.
Good.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Is there anything else that needs to be handled? I don't think we have to worry about the treasurer's report, because that's informational at this point. My turn to make a president report. And for the president's report, I'm going to make this brief because we have a lot to do and I don't want to make this a longer meeting than it has to be. I will simply say that over the last 2 years, we've had some great accomplishments. We've changed our platform from the telephone conference call system to the Zoom system. And that has enabled us to expand our workshops and presentations to a great extent. The first year, we really made great strides with that under Erling Hughes as chair of that. In the second year, Tim Cummings has expanded that tremendously. And what with Kelsey Nikolai's addition of the Tech Tip Tuesdays and the screen reader tips and tricks, which is turning out to be a very acceptable, in fact, marvelous thing, as far as I'm concerned. And I think this can only get better. I think the list traffic, including all the recent posts, if members that I've been on for a while will know, it's been a fantastic like last 6 months to a year, it has been absolutely fantastic. And with the list traffic, I have to say, I'm very excited about that. With that, I'm going to actually tell everyone that this is my last report, and I wanted to thank everyone on the board and all of the committee chairs for doing all the hard work they've done. And I want to wish the best to our next president. And I hope that everyone that's on the board will do as everybody's cooperative with him as they have with me. With that, I will conclude my report. I thank everyone for all of the indulgence given. Now we're going to go to the membership report. And John McCann, this one is for you.
Okay, it's pretty easy, does it? As of March 15th, at the time we were required to submit the numbers had to be as they were for the certification. We did achieve 113. I had to tap my mother-in-law on the shoulder to get us over that little hump. But hey, no, we got our 113. We're going to have five votes. I don't remember the last time when Bits had that. So something. Well, there you go. Rock and roll. I'm very happy about that. And I look forward to maintaining that. As I've said, and I don't want to go on at length because, you know, this means to be longer than it needs to be. You know, it's one thing to catch fire 1 year and have a great membership drive and, you know, get a nice award because you went from 45 to like 80 or something like that. It's happened. I've seen affiliate after affiliate do it and then just drift back to where they were. We have consistently been at the four affiliate vote level. Now we've cracked it. So we've danced around, you know, from the low 90s to the, you know, high 19, 108, you know, we've been in that ballpark, but we've been fairly consistent year in and year out. So I hope to continue this tradition of stability and slow growth. I think people perceive that we offer value, and we have already had several new members come in after, you know, for the upcoming membership year. Joshua Metz, Musimic, Marissa Musimic, and maybe one other person. Just to give you numbers, going into the 2019-2020 membership year, we have guaranteed 23. Where I'm going with that is we have 14 life members. We have 9 members who've renewed on or after May 1. And there are some number of carryovers because some people like to pay their dues and forget whether they paid and they pay again and they say, oh, just carry me forward. So I will look at the carry forwards and maybe 3 or 4, but we have roughly 25, maybe 1 or 2 more already locked down for the membership year that strictly speaking begins on July 1, at least does now under the current constitution. But we, as you know, we begin accepting for the current 2019-2020 membership year on as of May 1st. And so our numbers are 23 guaranteed with maybe 3 or 4 carry forwards.
Thank you very much, Mr. Membership Chair. And I really, this again, just only solidifies the fact that our organization is solid. Our organization is a good working organization, as it were. And again, that really just supports this, the membership as it stands, and it is really great. Moving on to our next item of business, we're talking about our convention this year and convention program activities. And Mr. Richard Villa, who is our program chair, please tell us a story.
Well, I'll tell you a story. I think the registration, I can give you some information regarding that. And I want to maybe have John take an issue to the board when they meet, because there was an issue with the way our registration was set up. I mailed the particular information to Janet as to our pricing and such. It doesn't even show up that way. It shows up like it did last year. Looks like she used last year's numbers to put in for what the pricing was. And I brought it up to her and she looked at it and says, oh my gosh, she says, I think I owe the bit. So I forget exactly how much it was. I said, I don't know if you owe it or ACB owes it, but we are not shown as the information was submitted to you. So I don't know how if there might be something that the board wants to look at. What? But anyway, we have programmed again for 2 days. So we have Saturday all day, and then Sunday the afternoon, we have the a morning session with Peter Korn, which is he's got to take the whole 2 hours, he said, which is it's always a very interesting session because we hear a lot about Amazon. And then the afternoon session will be AI, and Ira's going to present Paul Schroeder is going to be from, I was hoping to get someone more technical, but we got what we got. So we'll go over that. On Sunday afternoon, we have a joint session with the students on whether on different real displays, note taker by slash note takers, and titled, is it a note taker or is it a braille display? Because some of the braille displays do have some capability to be note taker. So that's, it'll be interesting, and students are going to join us for that. And of course, Sunday night, we're going to have a, rather than a mixer and rather than a luncheon, we have a combined effort and we're going to went up with a banquet for bits. And anybody that's registered has seen the menu, and it's not a luncheon menu, it's a dinner menu. So it's going to be, it's nicer than your luncheon entrees. It will have a 50th anniversary cake. I got to get that ordered through the bakery. I got to find out who the hotel deals with most of the time because they don't have a pastry chef. So they just have to go out and order it. And let's see, we will, Janet will have tickets that we're going to pass out for those people that purchase the package for drinks. You have two tickets for drinks, since we're going to have a bar with a bartender for 4 hours from 6 to 10. We will have two door prizes I'm going to order tomorrow for the drawing for those people that have purchased the package. There's got to be a bonus for them. They're going to get tickets and they're going to get a chance to win a dot or a tablet. I mean, two different prizes that the board approved to purchase. And I'm trying to reach out to Lynn Heddle to try to get one of their FIA people to come and play for us like we did when we were in Dallas. I asked for a piano in the banquet room. So that is pretty much it as far as arrangements and what we're going to have as a program. I'm looking forward to a good amount of people turning out. Now, right now, as I got a status this morning, there are 21 packages purchased, and then there are additional just lunch or banquet dinner tickets, so it's counting as 31. So I expect that there will be more people that will register between now and when they get to the convention. You know, other people usually buy either a lunch ticket or they can buy a package. There's no advantage for them to register ahead of time because we don't charge them extra if they purchase at the convention. That's the one thing we offer. Nobody else does. And that's my report on our convention.
Okay, and the next thing in our agenda, which is great segue, Richard, we've got your convention program committee report. So now we're going to lean into any of the other committee reports that people have to offer us. And I'll go first. Anyone who wants to jump in and make a report.
Mr. President?
Yes.
This is Erlene. I would like to just mention a note about the group that we started in February to help with website issues, account issues, and for a better term, I've been calling it the My Account Team and sometimes the My Account Group, but I want to acknowledge the BITS members who participate in that group to help set passwords and help BITS members with their website accounts. And those members that help us are Terrell Jones, Kelsey Nicolai, Abraham Swice, and Jim Stenga. And they have been very, very helpful to me. And I just want to thank them publicly for the time they take in helping with website account issues.
Excellent choice in people. And again, that's I commend them. Something I did forget about earlier when I was commending everybody else, I want to make sure to show my appreciation for every one of those folks, because they really did help you to keep things going in a great pace. And thank you very much for that, Arlene. Do you have anything else with any of the other committees you might have worked on?
I can't think of anything at the moment. Could I mention one thing about website?
Yes.
With respect to the website minutes, the minutes are available to anyone, or the board minutes, I should say. The minutes are available to anyone who logs in. And we just recently started putting other documents on the website because we have daily backups of the website. And so it does keep our documents secure, and we have backups in the event that whoever has a copy would lose a copy for some kind of unforeseen accident with a computer. So we have everything that I have been given is on the web space, on our website, with those who need access have access. And with regard to the minutes where in December, for example, when those minutes were adopted in or approved, I should say, when those minutes were approved in 2019, that's why they're there in the 2019 area instead of 2019. But for clarity and accuracy, I will move those minutes from the date when they were approved or the year when they were approved. I'll move them to the year when the actual meeting took place. And so that may clear up some confusion on that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I also want to say that Tim Cummings has done such a fantastic job with the actual presentation of workshops committee. Tim, great job, man. And anything that you might want to add to recognize your members?
Just to thank Kelsey, who's been very helpful and generated a lot of good ideas. So good on you, Kelsey.
She sure has. Okay.
Well, one thing I failed to mention is we're going to zoom our sessions again.
Right. Okay. If there's no other committee reports, I'll give a second to let anyone else who wants to jump in. If not, then we'll move along to, we have old business. Is there any old business? Is there any new business?
Oh, we should do.
So now we're going to recognize the chair of the Constitution Bylaws Committee, Mr. David Tanner. If we still have you with us, I would love to have you go ahead and get it started. One other thing I might add is what will happen is David is going to handle the description of the particular amendments in question. Then he will turn it back to me. I will take a vote on it and turn it back to him for the next amendment as we go through. So go ahead, David, and get her started.
Okay, I want to real quickly thank the folks that worked with me on the Constitution and Bylaws Committee this year. Richard Villa, Erling Hughes, and Tom Jones. I think we had a really great group. We pretty much agreed on most everything, worked real well together, and I want to thank them for the work they did, and particularly I want to thank Erling for writing up so much of what we did. We all came up with ideas, and Erling was the one, though, that put them down in files. We won't say on paper. We'll say in files. So a big shout out to Erlene. All right. Thanks.
You bet.
Okay. The way I'm going to do most of this, I will most of the time be reading the proposed wording for what we're going to vote on. There are some places where this is redoing something that's already there. In some cases, I may read it to you. In some cases, I may just say, well, this is what's going on now, and here's what's proposed. And then I will read to you what is proposed. I will also let you know when it's something new and does not relate to something we've done before. I'm going to start out then with the first thing that we article that we have is a change to the amendments in the bylaws, and the particular item deals with fiscal year and dues. It is Article 1.2, and basically the current rule or the current amendment says that the fiscal year will run from July 1st to June 30th. The reason that we had that calendar year for so many years was because the annual meetings were always held at the ACB National Convention. At this point, since 2015, it's either been by phone or by Zoom. And so we don't really need to have it start the year when the national convention starts. And because there are things such as we have to turn in a corporation paper for BITS Corporation with the names of officers and so forth to a certain organization each year, and it gets turned in the 1st of April. And if we elect officers in June, and we just did our corporation papers in April, and they won't be changed again until April next year. 3/4 of the year, the information that in those corporate papers may not have. And for example, this year, the president, it will be different. The treasurer will be different. The secretary will be different. So 3 out of 4 of the office.
I think we got it.
So the proposed wording for Article 1.2 is the fiscal year shall run from January 1 through December 31st of the calendar year. Mr. President, I move that this amendment be approved.
Thank you, Mr. President, or Mr. Secretary, I appreciate it. I will ask if there's any seconds to that motion.
Second.
Okay, with multiple seconds. Any discussion?
Mr. President, Karen Campbell, yes, had her hand raised. I think she had a question.
Yes.
I do. Okay, my question relates to how is the transition going to be handled? Is it going to be a short fiscal year or a longer fiscal year? That question needs to be answered before we vote on this.
I understand your concern, and it is duly noted. Some of this is confusing because in order to make the transition complete, it involves many, many different amendments. So I'm trying to think of a quick, easy, accurate way to answer your question. For instance, there's a change of when the annual meeting would take place. That will have something to do with the transition. There's a change on when, I don't know what that noise is in the background, but that is interfering with.
Somebody sounds like it's washing dishes.
Somebody needs to mute.
I'm trying to find it.
think it's covered
okay.
now.
I think we've got it. Yeah. Actually, we've been talking about this since last year. So we've had a lot of time to study the consequences of enacting all of these amendments. And that's why there was a late amendment to change the year for when officers would be elected. We're proposing to move that from the odd numbered year to even numbered years. The meeting, there's an amendment to move the annual meeting from June to December. So as far as the dues, people that pay their dues now, their dues will go toward 2020. And in fact, we do have 27 members currently on the 2020 roster. So for it, the dues might be the best way to explain it. So if you pay your dues now, it's after the current record date. So your dues would count toward 2020. Now you're a life member, so you don't worry about dues, okay? But
nope.
For trying to clarify, you know, how the transition would work. So the record date, that's another amendment. The record date would be changed from April 30th to October 31st. So what'll happen?
I understand, Erlene.
Okay. Yes.
I understand that, but it's either going to be a longer fiscal year or a shorter fiscal year, and I need to know which one, and so do the members.
Okay, so what it's going to be then, if this amendment passes, the fiscal year will run from January 1st to December
31st. You don't understand my question.
Hang on a second, folks. I think what she's asking is what's going to happen with these 6 months from July through
Bingo!
This year? Is that going to be part of next fiscal year, or is it going to be a short fiscal year?
No, it's part of next year.
It would. We're still in 2019. So for our membership purposes, the fiscal year, when this amendment, if adopted, goes into effect, the fiscal year would not end on June 30th. It would continue until December 31st.
Okay, there's the answer.
In addition,
I have a copy of an IRS form that needs to be filed along with instructions that I'm prepared to email to the treasurer if this amendment is adopted in order to take care of any IRS considerations that we have to address. Does that answer your question?
It does answer it now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. With that in mind, if there's no other discussion, I will call the question. All those in favor of adoption of this amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you very much. Move along, Mr. Secretary, to the next amendment. And I think you can go ahead, sir.
The next amendment that we're looking at is an amendment in the Constitution concerning Article 3.0. It concerns membership and dues. Types of memberships and qualifications, I'm sorry. This is a new amendment. It is Amendment 3.1.5, and it is junior membership. Any person who has not reached the age of 18, spelled out, and then the number 18 years, may become a junior member. The organization reserves the right to verify the status of any individual applying for this type of membership and may, at its discretion, require the name and proof of enrollment of the individual, institution of individuals is attending. Basically, it's junior members, a junior membership. They have to be younger than 18. We will see later what the rights they have and what rights they don't. And as in the student membership, there is a stipulation that that BITS can request proof of what school they're enrolled in.
Okay.
And Mr. President, I would
All
make
right.
a motion that it be.
Okay.
I would make a motion that the.
Okay. Let me call for a motion, second to the motion that he just made.
Second.
Okay. All those in any discussion, by the way?
Mr. President?
Yes.
Mr. President, this is Janelle. So there is no minimum age in this particular organization. I'm fine with that, just clarifying.
No, there isn't. I think we're thinking that probably most of the people that are joined are probably going to be like mid-teens to like 18, but you never know. I mean, you may get some kid that's 11, 12 years old that's really into the technology that might want to join, but we're thinking probably most are probably going to be in their mid to upper teens.
Does that answer your question there, Janelle?
Yes, thank you.
Any other discussion? Let's move forward. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? And motion is adopted. Continue, Mr. Secretary.
This next one is for the Constitution, and it's Article 3.3. The current wording basically is about the membership. I'm going to go down to the proposed wording and read to you what is in the proposed.
Ray Campbell has joined the meeting.
The rights accompanying each type of membership are as follows. 3.3.4. Junior members shall have the same rights as full members, except that they may not serve as elected officers or chairs of committees. Mr. President, I move this amendment be accepted.
Okay, anyone second that motion?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Move on, sir.
Okay, another Constitution amendment. And this will be 5.0, Article 5, Elections and Voting. 5.0, Article 5, Elections and Voting. The current wording, it talks about which people that can vote, and it has more to do with but the reason for the change is obviously in what we currently are using, there's no mention of junior members, and there is also no mention of life members, because when we changed the Constitution this year, there was not anything in that Constitution about life members. There was in 17, but not in 18. So this is putting BITS life members back into the Constitution. That's what this is really, a lot of what this is really about. So the proposed wording for 5.2 is voting all full members, students, members, organization member representatives, BITS life members, and junior members in good standing shall have the right to vote. Mr. President, I move that the amendment be accepted.
Any seconds?
Second.
Been moved and seconded accordingly. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Next.
Okay, the next one is a bylaws amendment change. Bylaws Article 1.0, Article 1, dues and fiscal year. This basically is showing just two things. This is just showing the added things added to what was already there. So in Article 1.0.5, so it says junior members, $5. Okay, that's ACB life members, $15. Okay, and Mr. President, I move that this amendment be accepted.
Any seconds?
Second.
Any discussion?
Didn't we already reflect anywhere in the Constitution about $15 for ACB Life members, or no? Was that an addition? Yeah. Was that a repositioning?
It's just probably adding that in with the junior membership concept, I think, is all that.
Right. Okay, fine.
It's there before, but it's now with the junior membership.
All the dues items are listed. We just had to change that numbering to include.
Numbering. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So everything's there.
And we also have student membership in there as 10, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Just confirming.
Okay. With that in mind, if there's no other discussion, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Go ahead, sir. Mr. Secretary.
Okay, we're back to another Constitution amendment. And this one will be on membership again. And the current wording of 3.1.2 regards student membership. And what I'm going to do is go down to the proposed wording, 3.1.2. Student members, membership is open to any individual who is enrolled either part-time or full-time, but in no less than 9 credits hours. And I would assume that you could probably want to interpret that as either semester hours or quarter hours, either way, in a curriculum or program at an accredited university, college, or vocational school. The organization reserves the right to verify the status of any individual applying for this type of membership and may, at its discretion, request the name and proof of enrollment of the individual institution the student is attending. Mr. President, I move that this amendment be approved.
With any seconds? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. President, this is Janelle.
Yes Janelle.
Okay, I'm not familiar, I guess, with these quarters, but I mean, is it like a quarter is half as long as a semester, and so then somebody wouldn't necessarily be taking as many as 9 hours, even if they're a full-time student?
Well, yes, there are some schools who are on a what they call a quarter system. So in 9 months, you actually have 3 quarters, and then the 4th quarter is the summer quarter. And in some schools, they use quarter hours instead of semester hours. There are other schools who actually are on a quarter system but may use semester hours of credit.
So then basically, if we're allowing people on the semester system to take 9 hours per semester and be qualified, then if these quarters, if there are 3 quarters in that same period of time and somebody was taking 6, I mean, I'm just trying not to exclude someone, and maybe I just don't understand.
So at least it's a school where I graduated undergraduate, where your quarters were a little shorter than a semester. So if you took 3 classes in a quarter, they used the semester system, but they had quarters. And so if you took 3 classes in a quarter, you got 7.5 semester hours. In other words, you would get 2.5, 2.5, 2.5. If it had been a semester, it would have been 9.
That was just my concern that that person, if that 7.5 hours per quarter not be excluded based on this, just on this 9 hour thing.
Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So go ahead on.
All right. Constitution again, I believe, here. We are talking about Constitution Amendment 3.2. And application for membership. Application for membership shall be submitted to the treasurer. The application shall specify the type of membership sought and whether the applicant is sighted or legally blind. payment of appropriate due as stated in bylaw article 1 shall be received between July 1st and April 30th in order to confer membership for that fiscal year. If tendered on or after May 1st, such payment only confers membership for the following fiscal year. That's what we have right now. Proposed wording 3.2, applicant for membership, application for membership shall be submitted to the treasurer. The application shall specify the type of membership sought and whether the applicant is sighted or legally blind. Payment of the applicable dues as stated in bylaw article 1 shall be received between January 1 and October 31st in order to confer for membership for fiscal year. If tenured on or after November 1st, such payment only confers membership for the following fiscal year.
What we had before is simply switching from July 1st through June 30th to January 1st through December 31st. And regarding that, I think that will account for everything for that.
Mr. President?
Yes. And then I'm next.
I just want to clarify one thing. Some of the wording that is being read is different from what's actually written. It's minor, but I just want to, for people that are listening to the recording or might listen to it later, some of the wording is different. In the case of the dues, I think David read applicable dues, and it should be appropriate dues as stated. So just be very careful that if you're going to read the proposed wording, just make sure the wording is correct so we don't get into a situation where the summary might not be accurate.
Okay. Is there a motion going with this, David?
Yes, Mr. President, I move that the amendment be approved.
Any discussion further, John?
I want to be sure that we're retaining that if a dues is received in November, it goes to the succeeding year. Yeah.
Right. Got it. Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, we got all the ayes and the opposed. Is there nothing? So, okay, David, you go ahead on, please.
Okay, another Constitution Amendment change, and this is 4.0, Article 4. This is about meetings. The current wording would talk about an annual meeting being in June, and the proposed wording, 4.1, annual meeting, an annual membership meeting shall be held during the month of December for the purpose of conducting elections for officers and directors in accordance with Article 5 of this Constitution. Reviewing the status of the organization and for such other purposes as may be proposed by the membership. Mr. President, I recommend I move that the amendment be passed.
Any seconds?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next.
Okay. Another Constitution Amendment, and this also deals with meetings. The proposed wording of Article 4.1.1, participation in the annual meeting shall be restricted to members in good standing as of October 31st. And, Mr. President, I move that this amendment be accepted.
Second.
Any further discussion? This appears to be just another conversion from in fiscal year. Okay.
That's exactly
okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Next.
Constitution Amendment. We are again looking at 4. This is again about meetings. And I'm going to go down to the proposed part here. Proposed wording, 4.1.2, notice of meeting, notice of the annual meeting shall be published or mailed to the membership no later than November 15th. Mr. President, I move that this amendment be approved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Next, sir.
And we are on Constitution Amendment again. This is 8.0 and has to do with Board of Directors. I'm going to go ahead and read both here. The current wording, 8.2, meeting of the Board of Directors, the Board of Directors shall hold regular meetings throughout the fiscal year in accordance with a schedule to be published to the membership no later than July 15th. Special meetings of the board may also be called at the discretion of the president or at the request of any 3 board members.
Can I ask a question here? Is the only change from July 15th to January 15th, is that what the proposed wording does?
Yes. So the difference is, instead of July 15th, it's January 15th. That's the only real difference.
Okay. So do you recommend something?
I recommend that we accept this amendment.
Second.
Any discussion? Shouldn't be any. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Next, sir.
Are you ready for 8.6.5, which would be recall of an officer or board member?
I believe so. Constitutional Amendment 8.6, vacancies. 8.6.5, recall of an officer or board member. 8.6.5.1, by a vote of at least 5 members of the board of directors, an officer or board member can be removed from office for a serious reason, such as unexcused or numerous absences, or failure to satisfactorily perform the duties or responsibilities of that office, period. Evidence of a good faith effort to resolve the issue with the officer or board member must be provided to the board of directors before an officer or board member can be removed.
David, that would be presented, not presided.
Provided, I think. I thought you said provided.
Oh, okay.
Presented. Yes. In other words, presented. The idea is that you would, you know, have something,
yes,
have some report to the board.
The word right. is presented. Yeah, it's presented.
Right. Right. 8.6.5.2. Officers, any vacancy created by the unexpected termination of the term of an officer by any one of these 4 officers is treated in Article 6.6 and 8.6.5.3, board members, any vacancy created by the unexpected termination of and board member at large is treated in Article 7.6. 8.6.5.4.
Okay. Are you going to try and group these all together? Okay.
Well, it's
the Mr. President, if I may, the section yes. that David's reading now, there are no changes here. This is just a continuation of what we
Correct.
Currently have in place.
Okay.
This
so
is just cross-referential. This is like cross-referencing, right?
So,
right.
And if it is, and there's no change, then do we need to, right. Is this just informational?
Right. That's what I was trying to get at.
It's not for informational. All I'm saying is, well, it depends on how you interpret informational. There are no changes here in the section that's being read. This is just continuing on with the section as it would appear if this amendment is adopted.
Okay.
Yeah, because this isn't replacing something else. This is okay. new.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why
we really don't need to take action on it.
But we need to vote on
all we need to do now is discuss the part that was changed where we have the
right.
The part so that was read in the beginning and vote on the amendment.
So here the part that was changed that's making it that five people need to vote someone out?
Yes. After presentation, of a good faith effort, we called them, we sent them emails,
We need to
that majority. Why are you stating five?
We considered this on the basis of not having an immediate past president. So in the case that he had four officers and three board members, it's four for a quorum, and we wanted the bar to be a little higher. I'd also like to say something about this amendment, if I may. I did vote for this amendment in committee. I supported the amendment. I have mixed givings about the amendment, and I'll still vote for it when we vote. We've never been in a situation where we've had to have this kind of an amendment in our constitution and bylaws, where we had to consider the possibility of removing anybody from the board. And last year was the first time we had to implement a absentee situation. I hope, and I raise this issue because we may have to revisit this. We don't have any appeal process in this amendment. Yeah. But I think we needed to start somewhere. And I think, I'm hoping we won't have to implement this. But when I say implement it, I should say execute this section.
This is one of those things I'd hope we'd never have to use.
I recommend to everyone that we adopt this amendment as it is for now. And I have no doubt that the committee will look at this. And if we need to, add some type of an appeals process. When I was researching this topic, I looked at a couple of the ACB affiliate constitutions, and that's where I found some of the recall language that is written in here. So with that having been said, I just didn't want the membership to think we did not consider the possibility that we don't have an appeal mechanism in here, but we do need to have something in place, so that's why I'm recommending that we pass this amendment.
Can we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Any further discussion? I don't know if we need any. All in favor, say aye.
No. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Go ahead, David.
Constitution Amendment 5.0, Elections and Voting, 5.0, Article 5, Elections and voting. Proposed wording 5.1. Elections, regular elections shall be held every 2 years on even numbered years to elect officers, board members at large, and to fill any vacancies that may have occurred during the previous year. Off-year elections shall be held to replace board members at large whose 3-year term has expired and to fill any vacancies that may have occurred during the previous year. The current wording says officers will be elected in odd years, and it is now being changed to even years.
Can I please explain?
Yes, please.
Okay, so how this is going to work, if this amendment is adopted, this amendment will go into effect at the close, at the adjournment of this meeting. When I say this meeting, when the meeting finally adjourns, amendments go into effect at the close of the meeting when the meeting adjourns. Okay, so we're going to have an election. Under our current constitution, we're going to elect officers, a director, and if there's any vacancies because someone was elected from the board to an officer position, we'll elect that position from the floor. Mm-hmm. So we have our annual meeting in 2019 with everybody elected. In 2020, when the one board position would normally be up for election in June, that position will be up for election in December of 2020. So the year still remains the same. It's just the timing of when that position will be up for election. All we're doing here is we're switching from odd numbered years to even numbered years. So in 2020, we'll be electing the one board position in addition to the four officers that would have normally been elected in June of 2021, they'll be elected in December of 2020. The important reason for this change, there's two reasons that I can think of. The first reason is when the officers are normally elected in June, the election is held right before the convention, and the transition from officers to the new officers is kind of, it's not as efficient. This way, if we change it to even numbered years, the officers will be elected in 2020. Let's say in the case of a newly elected president, that president can appoint their committee chairs, and especially the convention program chair, that person would have time to be in place from January until July when the convention takes place. It just seems like it's a more orderly transition of officers. Now, the second point is that we file a biannual report with DCRA because we are incorporated with DCRA in DC. So what's happening now when we elect officers in June or even December, let's say we don't change it. Let's say we elect officers in December 2021. The problem that we run into is we file our biannual report on odd numbered years. So in order to make our corporation status accurate, we would have to amend every corporate filing following the election of the new officers. So by changing it to even numbered years, when we elect officers in 2020, when we file our corporation report in January through April of 2021, we will have already elected our new officers if there's a change or whatever. We won't have to file any amendment. But those are the
it
two
puts it all in sync. It puts yes. everything in sync. Exactly. It works.
Erlene, thank you for clarifying that. I think I was kind of sitting here a little confused about why we were doing it, but that really explains it, and I'm good to move forward.
So what do you think about this amendment?
Question.
Okay.
Yes.
Clarification. So the person who's elected in June of this year for president, for example, serves until December 2020. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes. And then they will stand for election again at that time.
Right. Right.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So,
and Mr. President, I move that this amendment be approved, and this is the last one.
Oh, hold on. Any discussion?
Very quick.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? Is that the last one we have?
That is the last one.
That is it.
Yay.
Great. Hey, we did it. David, I'm sorry on your bed. That was, excellent. We got a nominating committee report to do. Mr. Tim Cummings, you're the chair.
Okay. Very quickly, I've sent this out so everyone has already seen it. I'd like to first quickly thank my committee, without whom I couldn't have done this, Abraham Swice and Maria Kristich. I'd also like to thank all the candidates who suffered through our very difficult, not really, interviewing process. So this is our recommendations as the committee for the nominations. For President, Richard Villa; Vice President, Erlene Hughes; Secretary, Kelsey Nicolay; Treasurer, John McCann; and Board Member, Ray Campbell.
Thank you, sir. Nominating committee report has been given. It's been moved. It's been nominated by the nominating committee that Richard Villa become president. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor?
Move nominations be closed and that Richard be unanimous ballot be cast for Richard Villa.
It's been moved and seconded that this be the case. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you, Richard. You are awarded, sir. Do we want to give each person a chance to say something, or how do you want to work this, folks? We're running late. I
10
know.
Seconds.
Mm-hmm. Let's proceed.
At least nominating committee report has had it so that Burlene Hughes be our vice president. Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor?
Move nominations close and that Earlene be unanimous ballot be cast for Earlene.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Earlene, you are the continuing vice president.
Thank you.
Any quick comments?
Thank you.
It's been nominated that Kelsey Nicolai be nominated for secretary. Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor?
Who nominations closed and the unanimous ballot.
Close and the unanimous ballot be cast second. For Kelsey.
Second.
Great. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Kelsey, you got it, kids. You're
congrats, Kelsey.
Yeah, congratulations. Excellent job. Now.
Thank you. And just by the way, I'm going to have to leave because I got to get up to go to work at 6:30 in the morning. So unfortunately, I need to head out.
It's been nominated that John McCann be our next treasurer. Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor?
Move nominations to John McCann be elected unanimous ballot.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. It also well, has been.
Thank you. And, I applaud the membership voting for continuity. So Richard and I will flip, and that I think will make the transition from what you would reasonably understand to be an important position based on the audit report.
It's been put forward by the nominating committee that Ray Campbell be our next board of directors. Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor?
Mr. President,
yes.
I move that nominations cease and that Mr. Campbell be elected unanimously.
Second.
That's correct. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. I'll be
sorry
brief.
About that.
Thanks, you guys. And I look forward to, now that I'm well established back in the IT world, I look forward to making contributions to BITS going forward, and let's roll.
I look forward to having more of his time consumed that he's probably staring down the mouth of the second vice presidency now.
Yeah. Now,
like that.
I want to take a minute to indicate that and thank you very much, Ray. We now have, as a result of Kelsey Nicolai has been elected to serve as an officer, she therefore vacates her board position. We now entertain nominations from the floor for that board position.
Mr. President.
Yes, please.
I nominate Terrell Jones to fill the vacancy for a 2-year board position.
Second.
Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor? Any other nominations from the floor?
Move nominations close and that a unanimous ballot be cast for Terrell Jones. And this is
great.
For 2 years.
Thank you. Okay. That is done. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Congrats, Terrell.
Congratulations, Mr. Terrell. Yeah. That is fantastic.
Thank you all very, very much. I really wanted this board position, and I really appreciate your votes.
You're sure welcome. And Terrell, I want to comment about something that Terrell has been every bit the board member we all appreciate. He has done everything and more that any one of us have ever asked of him. And he has earned this board position. And I'm so glad he has it. Thank you folks very much. If there's any other business to be coming before the board at this point, or before the membership at this point.
Before we adjourn, Mr. President.
Yes.
I would like to just give a round of applause to you, Tom Jones, serving as our president the last couple of years. Through, I think you've you've led BITS with a good steady hand and tried to keep us moving forward. And I, for one, appreciate that. And we'd just like to applaud you on that work.
Ditto, yeah.
Hi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
May I have a moment?
Yes, you may, Richard.
As incoming president, I want to thank our outgoing secretary for 2 years of service, and I want to thank all the committees and their chairs for their work. I will be looking at the committees since they actually become dissolved upon election of new officers. We will go ahead and appoint new chairs, and I'll be looking at members, and I hope that the people are not scared of service on the committee, because if the committee operates correctly, it doesn't have a lot of meetings. It doesn't have a lot of work involved. So just I want to mention that. And I want to thank for the organization for the confidence it placed in me. I hope to spur our direction forward and maybe implement some things that allow us to become more efficient and also train leadership.
That is fantastic, Richard. And I will tell everyone else in the membership that I have known Richard Villa for a number of years. He and I have known each other since back in 1964 when we attended a college preparatory course in Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind, as they referred to it then. And I thank you, Richard, for all the good service that we've had from you, Guy. With that in mind, I'll take a motion for adjournment.
Move adjournment.
So moved.
This meeting has been adjourned.